Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
This is Kane Roberts, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, their doctors are licensed mechanics. It's Genghis and Ragman.
This is Kane Roberts, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. And guess what? Horns up!
Live with Genghis and Ragman, and probably the strongest guy in heavy metal, Mr. Kane Roberts. Kane, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not feeling too strong right now. I went to sleep at like 2,000 o'clock and had to get up first thing in the morning, so I'm just kind of wandering around my house.
Oh, man, sorry to hear that, man, but hey, it's the life of a rock star, right?
Yeah. Well, if I was doing anything kind of rock star, I guess I wouldn't be complaining, but, you know, I was spackling my walls. No, I'm kidding. No, yeah, that's true. You know, but, you know, back in the day, you know, we do 2 or 3 days in a row without sleep, so I don't know what I'm complaining about.
You know, as we all get older, all our priorities change, so, you know, I make the joke about the rock star thing, but yeah, we all have lives and responsibilities and stuff we got to do now, and yeah, it can definitely sleep.
That's a good point, you know, because you look at young bands, you know, like somebody's in their 20s and they're angry young men or women, and they're pissed off because they're going up against the men, against society and culture and all that stuff. After your, you know, 50th birthday, you know, the band up there, like, they're angry because their backs hurt, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit of a different scenario.
Yeah, that's no joke, man. I hear a lot of stories or guys just having, you know, surgeries and this and that and the other thing because they were so hard on their bodies. Not really chemically, but just running around and jumping up and down on the stage like a madman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on what kind of lifestyle you had. I mean, there's certain guys that are just invincible. Alice Cooper's one of them. I mean,
yeah.
his run-in with drugs and alcohol and that stuff, and now the guy's in unbelievable shape. It's the same thing with people like Keith Richards. And you look at Mick Jagger, you know, he's rewriting what it is to be 70-plus. So I think times are changing. People's perception of stuff is changing. But I think everybody's starting to think, you know, they ought to take care of themselves just a little bit, you know. So that's kind of the way I felt about it the whole time. We would do a 30-hour bus drive. The rest of the band would, you know, get a candy bar and go to their rooms. Alice would find his golf clubs and go golfing, and I'd find, you know, some little, you know, creepy gym somewhere in Michigan somewhere and work out. So, you know, so we had a different view of things.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Well, Kate, before we jump into the new record, kind of want to ask you, where you been, man? What's been going on? I'll be honest with you. The last thing I have from you was back in 99 with the Phoenix Down project. And I got really excited when that came out because I was getting new Kane Roberts music. So to the best of my knowledge, it's been about 20 years since you put out a new studio record.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just fell off the grid because, you know, culture changes, music changes, you know, all sorts of things change. And you know, the music business part of things just never excited me. I wasn't into it. So it was very difficult to talk me into doing stuff. I didn't stop playing music and singing and recording a little bit. And what happened was I started getting a little bit serious and doing, like, you know, demos. And my friend Kip Winger said, you got to roll it by Frontiers Records and see what they think. And they decided to take me on board. I mean, I think to a certain extent they regretted it. The record took me 3 years. But, you know, you think about it, what an amazing record company, you know. And they were yelling at me. They were pissed off at me. When they got the record, they loved it. And it just showed you that those guys are all about, you know, the music. So I ended up being in a business situation with the right people. So that's basically what it was. I didn't turn my back on the fans or music or guitar or anything. It was just basically, you know, I didn't want to be in the music business, so to speak. So.
Well, I got a question about the Phoenix Down record. And there's a song on there called Reckless that ended up the Rockstar movie. And I was kind of curious, you know, how that came about, because it's a killer tune. And I was surprised they never did much with it. I don't know if they recorded a full song or not in the studio, but you came out with on that Phoenix Down, and what a killer tune, dude. How did you get involved with the Rockstar?
Unbelievable. A lot of that has to do with Mike Slammer, who's a really amazing guitar player. And
agreed.
You know, he's got everything going. You know, he's studio, he's a great musician, he knows composition and everything. So I just basically walked in and wrote that with him and threw it down. And, you know, he called me up and said, that was freaking awesome, you know. And then they ended up using it in that Rockstar movie. And they re-recorded, I think Zach played guitar and everything. And they actually did a full recording of it. But it only ended up, you know, as part of the soundtrack. And I don't know how good the movie did. But, yeah, I mean, I that's one of my favorite songs of all time, mostly because of Mike.
Oh, yeah, Mike.
And myself. I really love myself, too. No, I'm
kidding. Oh, yeah.
No, it's mostly because of Mike. No, Mike Slammer's involvement with it was just amazing. So he's a great, great guitar player.
Oh, yeah. I love Steelhouse Lane. He is an amazing guitar, and Streets and all that stuff. Yeah, Mike's awesome.
Really, really, really tricky. You know what I mean? You're listening to it, and he always throws something in you didn't expect. You know, it's awesome.
Well, out of all the projects and the hobbies that you have, I mean, you've done, like, graphic work and stuff like that, and video game work. Had you ever decided to get behind the camera in any real way? I mean, I know you had your little stint in Shocker as the famous construction worker with the knife, but... you look like you're picture perfect for doing movies.
You know, that's interesting because I ended up being, I was just very, like 2 seconds, I'm in the movie called Prince of Darkness. So, you know, if you think about it, I got to be on, you know, get directed by John Carpenter, like a great horror, you know, director, and Wes Craven. So I was super lucky in that way. And then people don't know this, but I auditioned for Terminator 2.
Ah.
So what they do is they take you through different auditions. And so I made it to the third round and went on film for James Cameron, you know, so I was that close to being that cop guy, which would have been wild, but, you know, it ended up not happening. But yeah, yeah. So that was kind
of that's
cool.
Wild.
Yeah.
Well, did you get involved with Prince of Darkness due to Alice having a song on the soundtrack, or?
Well, yeah, he and I wrote that song. John Carpenter, you know, loved it. And so, you know, we were talking, you know, the management was talking to him and stuff. And then, you know, John said, sure, have him come down. I mean, he basically made me a zombie. And it's so funny, you know, I'm supposed to be the Walking Dead. And so everybody's walking, you know, kind of like a zombie. And I needed direction to be like walking, like completely brainless. I couldn't even do that. You know, I keep my mouth open and stare, you know. But it was so cool to have John Carpenter telling me, you know, like, the way to do it and stuff like that. He was very, very cool. He's one of my true idols. Same with Wes Craven.
Well, another question I want to have, and just go back, and then we're going to jump into the new record, but I've always been curious about this, is how you get involved with Alice to begin with, and then you're in basically a super group. I mean, no one knew it was a super group, especially on Raise Your Fist and Yell with Kip and Ken Mary and you know, how did that happen, and why did you decide to go ahead and go solo? Was it, were you getting offers, or was it just time to do something a little different when you left Alice?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. There's the nuts and bolts explanation about it, and that's like me giving, you know, handing out my demo, and it fell in the hands of Bob Ezrin, and he liked my writing style, and then I went down to meet Alice in New York, and, you know, it was like... you know, it's all these guys that changed culture. Chef Gordon, Bob Ezrin, Alice Cooper. And, you know, I wasn't nervous. I mean, I don't get nervous in situations like that. But Alice and I immediately became best friends, like literally within 10 minutes. And that had a huge deal to do with it. The other way I put it is, you know, people are like wondering, oh, how do I get into the music business? How do I succeed in anything? And I always say, if you work hard enough, if you really, really work hard, you know, you make yourself into something. And I'm not saying I'm special in it, but you make yourself into something. The world will greet you with open legs, you know. It'll beat a path to your door. And you know, think about it. Alice Cooper is the only band in the world that would hire me. You know what I mean? He's like, think of the way I looked and played and everything. And he found me. You know, people like tell me, hey, you know, you know, are you going to join any other, you know, bands after this? And I go, you know what? Who would hire me? There isn't anybody. So I'm on my own now. But my point is, like, back then, Alice was it for me. And somehow we crossed paths and you know, here I am today. So I think that really is a good theory. Just, like, put your, you know, your blood and guts into something. Become obsessed and something will happen.
Yeah, I agree. I got to tell you, the Constrictor, Raise Your Fist and Yell, and even The Trash, those are my favorite. I mean, call me crazy, I love the old Cooper stuff, but that heavier edge to Alice with the flashy guitars and stuff like that, that's my favorite, one of my favorite periods of Cooper's band. And I gotta tell you, I was one guy that was really, really bummed when I heard you were leaving.
Yeah, well, I you know, what happened was the record companies and the management companies all got into, you know, involved in it. And so, you know, at that point, I was writing with Desmond for my Geffen record, and Alice was jumping into something different. So we just said, you know, we sort of agreed. You know, we looked at each other. It wasn't like a big thing. And, you know, we still talk every day. He just was in my new video for the song Beginning of the End with Alyssa White Blues from Arch Enemy. And, you know, it was just a real natural for him to just say, all right, I'll do it. And you know, think about it. I'm pretty much the only guy on the planet he would do that for. I mean, there's some other people maybe, but I'm on a very, very, you know, tight list. So I was real lucky with that.
Yeah, for sure. Let's jump into the new record. And you mentioned the beginning of the end with Alice and Alyssa White Glutes. You know, how did you hook up with Alyssa? And I got to tell you, I had no idea she could sing. Had such a good clean singing voice, because it's just always been guttural with the stuff she does with Arch Enemy.
Until you're
Yeah, well, this is one of those things where, you know, you take it like this. The first moment is me on YouTube looking at the Agonist and just thinking, like, who is this girl? She's just, she's so powerful, you know. And then she goes to Arch Enemy, and I'm watching a video on YouTube where these giant guys come out with their guitars and the drums are, you know, hammering. It's just huge. And then this girl comes stalking out on stage and owns 80,000 people in the audience, you know. And you just say to yourself, that's something really special. That's somebody that's, you know, breaking glass ceilings, knocking down walls, redefining what a woman's role is in rock and heavy metal. So I wanted that energy on my record. At first, I was thinking, this is impossible. It isn't going to happen. I don't know this person at all, you know, whatever. And then I thought to myself, my true nature is to call anybody. You know, I mean, I almost called Oliver Stone to direct the video. I'm serious. You know, it's like, why not? You know, that's it's sort of a free ride you have. You call and they say no. Some people said no to me. Nora Luhimo from Battle Beast didn't want to do it. I'm going to ask her for the rest of my life because she's one of the best singers in rock and roll right now. There's a song they did called I Want the World. And I don't know, she just tears my head off. So I'm going to be asking her for the rest of my life. And I'm not stalking her, but she'll probably keep saying no. I don't know. But the point is that I talked to somebody and a friend of mine named Michael Alago, who signed Metallica and White Zombie and everything. He discovered those bands. And he's good friends with Doyle from The Misfits. And Doyle and Alyssa are an item. They go out together. So they asked, you know, I think he ran by six bands. And the only one she was interested in was maybe working on something with me. And then I sent her the song and she said yes. And then when she heard how the song came out, she said, I'll fly anywhere to be in the video with you and Alice. So that's nice. Sort of the story for her. And, you know, she has my total respect. She's an unbelievable musician. You know, her first go at it is what you hear on the record. She's just really incredible. Alice was really impressed as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the video is great. The song is amazing. And it made me wonder. It's like, wow, you kind of, I like how you moved into a heavier direction. Is that showing some of that change in your influences recently, the different kind of music you're listening to? Or?
Well, yeah, it actually does, you know. But at the same time, you know, after Raising Your Fist and Yell and the experiences I had, I didn't walk away from my past. I didn't walk away from, you know, the audience that kind of knows me. I didn't want to do anything, you know, sort of like proactive, like I have an agenda. I just let things flow, and I wrote with different people. I wrote with this kid, Evan Magnus. I wrote that song, and it just kept moving in that direction. So, yeah, I have been listening to other bands like, you know, Battle Beast and Volbeat and Lacuna Coil. I mean, they're not brand new, but I just like I have a serious crush on Christina Scabbia, you know. So it's one of those things. Yeah, so it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, I mean, I listened to a ton of music, and when it came time to start creating this thing, I decided to just make it, you know, really honest. I mean, everybody says that, but, you know, it's really true in this instance. I didn't want to make it sort of a business decision. I just wanted it to come, you know, from inside. So, yeah.
Well, another song I want to bring up, and it's probably my favorite right now, is King of the World. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together for you? And I guess another question built in is, you know, you said you've been recording this for 3 years. Is this all newly written material within the last 3 years, or stuff you've been working on for the last, you know, 20 or so?
You called me last night, and I'm glad I didn't hear the phone ring, 'cause your voice still shuts me down. And just the thought of you still gets me where I can't do anything. And I know I was out of my league when I gave you everything. Falling down, I turn around and learn to walk away. This is my coronation. Thank you for your degradation. And all I need is the one and only broke down, loneliest girl.
Yeah, you know, I walked in there with, you know, my pencil protector in my pocket. And, you know, I had, like, my button-down shirt. My hair was all plastered down with my glasses going, like, okay, I got a whole album here, you know. And we just started working on it, and the old song just kept, you know, getting X'd out, you know. And new material started getting written, you know, with my producer, co-producer there, Alex Track. And then, you know, there's a guy named Matt Messer, who actually, he was the A&R guy that signed Tool and bands like that. Really insane guy. And he hooked me up with Brent Smith from Shinedown and Lizzie Hale and stuff. And I started just doing new material. I just thought, I felt, you know, reawakened, you know. So I started, you know, throwing away all the old stuff. Every song on there is brand new in that 3-year period. So, yeah, that is what that process was. King of the World, I started, you know, when a guy breaks up with a girl, I think girls go through this too, maybe, but guys have a tendency to say, oh, geez, you know, I'm like crushed. And you say, well, I'll be over this in about a week to 10 days. You know, you kind of think that, like, I'll be okay. And then, you know, like a year later, you're still like screwed up over this girl, you know? So, that's what that song was about. The guy says, you know, I'm okay, I'm king of the world, but you can tell he's really not, you know. And I thought, like, he, in the middle of the song, I think, no matter how I pray, you never fade away. And then I scream, you never fade away. And I thought, what would be better than to have Nita Strauss come in and just sledgehammer my head with the solo, you know. So she plays the first riff when we trade off with each other, and she really kills it.
Oh, yeah, totally, dude. She's ripping all over that thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's,
you know, I just saw Alice, you know, a couple of times with her, and I just Nita Strauss is part of, like, she to me is part of the new normal. Same with Alyssa, you know. And the drummer on Beginning of the End is Aoyama Hideki, the drummer from Baby Metal. He's one of the most talented machine gun drummers on the planet. I was really lucky that you know, he liked the song and played on it as well.
Yeah, definitely. And what I like about this, and you just mentioned it, is this, as you say, the new normal. I like how you're pulling in all of this. You're known for this old school kind of sound, or at least you're famous for that late 80s sound. And yet you working with all these new people to bring all that into the current scene. And I like that collaborative effort of yours, your open-mindedness about working with new people.
Yeah, and, you know, it really makes me excited, you know, just thinking about that. And you know, I can't breathe right now. I'm so excited. No, I'm kidding. What I was going to say was the cover. If you look at the cover, it represents the new normal, because 50 years ago, that cover wouldn't be allowed to come out into the public. But you look at it now, and we're all going like, yeah, I hear it, I see it, I've seen that before, you know what I mean? And it might be edgy, but yeah, I get it. So you know, times have changed.
Right, she looks like the checkout girl at Whole Foods or something.
Yeah.
Well, another song we want to ask you about was Above and Beyond. Well, it's kind of a reunion with Kip and Ken Mary and Paul Taylor. How did that song come together?
I drove away, saw you fade in the mirror. You turn your head to run. How much went wrong? It was gone in a minute. Just everything under the sun. And now your heart is a crucible. So before you turn invisible. Everybody wants to live forever. Ain't nobody ever found a way. Now we write a little song together. Thread the needle for another day. While you pray. And I say, I promise you above and beyond. I'll take you farther than you've ever gone. Where to twist in my
the Brent Smith from Shinedown is just a phenomenal writer. And, you know, I was lucky because, you know, the demos I got on those songs, Lizzie Hales was sung by her, and, you know, Brent sang his, so the standard was really high. So it was one of those situations where, you know, you hear these songs and you say to yourself, okay, do I love this just because that guy is so off the chain, amazing, you know what I mean? And so that song just started growing on me, and I was walking around singing it everywhere. So I rewrote some parts with it. They were nice enough to let me, you know, rewrite stuff. And then I was thinking, you know, probably the best bass player, one of the best bass sounds in the world is Kip Winger. There's no way that anybody tops that sound that he has. So I got him to play, and of course Ken is like, you know, off the chain, amazing, and all those guys. So, and they're all very prolific. They're all still working and doing tons of stuff. I mean, Ken Mary is drumming for Flotsam and Jetsam, and that's not an easy ride. I mean, that's a tough go on the drums, you know. So they're all really active and doing stuff. So it was easy for me to get them to play, and then you know make me look better.
I tell you what, that song is a very strong song. And I got to tell you, Kane, the whole record has a nice flow, and it's a really good record, man. Congratulations.
Hey, well, thanks, man. I hadn't been in the public jet stream for a long time, you know, and there's a lot of lovers and haters out there, and, you know, you just put it out there and you hope that somehow, you know, no matter what the review is, that it moves people a little bit. So, you know, when I hear stuff like that, it really does mean a lot. Thank you. You know, we put a lot of work into it. It's kind of obvious. So, yeah.
Yeah. It really comes off. It's not like, hey, I'm just trying to make a buck because somebody asked me to record a couple songs. It looks like you put a lot of time and effort because the songs are that good, man.
Yeah, we wanted the lyrics and the melodies and the sound and everything to be, you know, perfect or just, you know, appropriate for each song. And we treated each one like a movie script, you know, so if you listen to the lyrics, you can tell there's a little bit of a drama going on. And, you know, the other thing too is like, for example, guitar solos, you know, there people just very often just figure, okay, it's been a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus, so here comes the guitar solo and it's over the chorus or something like that. We stayed away from that and just wanted to make sure that if there's going to be a guitar solo, there's a reason for it and there's an environment that it fits into. There's a song called Who We Are that's kind of a ballad, and right where the guitar solo comes, I got this young artist named Kat Franich to be the girl's voice in that song, and she totally killed it. I mean, she's 21 years old, just a really amazing singer. She's going to have a record out, I think, this year. So, you know, I just sort of decided to, you know, break the rules that have been hammered into my head and just, you know, come up with something that's, you know, more creative and just, you know, like I said, appropriate in terms of each part of the song and how they're performed.
Well, Kane, what are your thoughts on, are you going to try to do some live shows or is that something in the cards or are you moving on to the next project? What are you looking at going forward?
I want to do another video. I think I'm going to direct this next video. The video that we did, you know, every video has a tremendous amount of explosions and bombs going off, and it's not going to work, and it's going to work. You know, you think of the logistics of me getting Alissa White Blues and Alice on the same set on the same day. It's pretty insane. So I have another idea for another video. So I think we're going to do 2 or 3 more videos, and then see if a live show makes sense. And if it does, you know, I'll definitely get into it. But right now, there's no plan.
Gotcha. Well, all I can say is don't stay away so long. Hang out with us for a while, man. We're digging that music.
Yeah, my next album, I'll have like tubes coming out of me. I'll, you know, be like a head in an aquarium. But yeah, well, thank you. That's very nice.
Well, Kane, before we let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, you know, check out the video, you know, beginning of the end. That's kind of the, like, the ultimate version of what we're trying to do here. And, you know, really hope you dig the record. Come to my house, everybody. Just come to my house tonight and we'll have a drink. It'll be fun.
Well, Kane, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. We want to tell all the fans to grab Kane's brand new record, The New Normal, out now on Frontiers. Kane, it has been a blast talking to you, man. thanks again for coming on our show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You guys were great, and, you know, very, very grateful to have the opportunity to talk to everybody, so thank you.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is a theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.